Good evening, and thanks to everybody to attend this meeting. Before starting, let me give a warm welcome to Mr. Jim Schmidt, the new CEO of F.I.L.A. Group for North America, that will participate in this call and will be happy to answer all the Q&A session regarding North America. The second point, I would like to give you an information. You know that this year, F.I.L.A. Group has started the SAP transition, and the group, F.I.L.A. Group, has been awarded and ranked number one as most successful SAP transition in Italy for the current year. For my introduction, I would like to anticipate that I would like to be as quick as possible. I think that the Q&A session could be more fruitful and more interesting. As a general comment, this third quarter has been clearly a work in progress quarter, but we are, I think, convinced that we have built up a solid ground, not only for a successful fourth quarter, but also for a successful future. As you know, 2018 has been a quite busy year. The first 6 months, we have been involved with the successful transaction of Paycom. We have launched the SAP transition in February, and we have implemented the Central European warehouse that at the end started between August and September. So all these three big processes has in different way influenced our performance in the third quarter. But again, let me allow Stefano De Rosa to talk about the figures, and then we will enter in all the details needed in the Q&A session. Thanks, Stefano.
Okay, thanks, Massimo. So I ask kindly ask to everyone to go to the presentation, to go to page 4 in order to start with core business sales. Core business sales at September 2008 are equal 441.6 million. This is a normalized value because it includes a normalization for IFRS 15 first time adoption for 4.1 million. And consider this figure, compare the equivalent figure of September 2017 equal to 391.5 million. We have a difference, a positive increase of 50.1 million, that is equal to 12.8% of increase. Of course, this number includes two effects, two opposite effects, the FX effect and the M&A effect. Starting from the last one, the M&A effect is related to Paycom, that is included for 70.5 million of euro. And this value is referred from June 7 to September 30. You have just analyzed of the total value of Paycom revenue in the highlight, because the total 9 months revenue are equal to 190 million, and so this is the total value for the 9 months, but is including only for 84 million, equivalent to 70.5 million in our numbers. So the second effect to be considered is increase in the FX effect, We have a negative FX effect for 20.3 million. This is mainly referred to North America for 7.7 million, to Central South America for 5.9 million, to Asia for negative 5 million, all these values are negative, and Europe for 1.6 million. So, normalizing or neutralizing the increase from these two effects, we have an organic, let's say, decrease of 0.2 million, so more or less revenue are equal to the previous year. We, as you can also see by geographic area, we have two opposite effects. We have the increase in Asia, mainly referred to India, the increase in Central South America referred to all our subsidiaries, Mexico, Argentina, Brazil, Chile, that totally offset the North America decrease and that is referred to Dixon, and the Europe decrease that is referred mainly to Canson France and Fila that are compensated by a very good performance coming from UK. And by product line, the increase that we just mentioned by geographic area refers to Central South America and Asia is concentrated in the school office segment. And so for this reason, we found an increase of plus 2.4 million. We find an increase of industrial line for 1.1 million and the decrease in fine art, hobby and digital is equal to 3.7 million as is referred, as we just mentioned, mainly to Dixon and Canson France. If we go to page 5, we can analyze the EBITDA trend. The adjusted EBITDA is equal to 73.6 million and compared to the 68 million of 2017, we have an increase of 5.6 million that is equal plus 8.3%. As we did for the just before normalizing from the FX asset M&A effect, we have to mention that the normalization is due to extraordinary costs. And mainly these costs are referred to M&A activity, more or less 9 million. Then 1.5 million is referred to restructuring cost for all the organization that is in place in this moment in the group. And then we have a little amount referred to the stock option accrual and the IFRS 15 adjustment. So for this reason that the reporting EBITDA go from 61 to 73.6 million of euro. The FX effect is negative, is equal to negative 2.3 million, and of course we have a link to the trend revenue that we just analyzed. 1.5 million is in USD area, negative 0.5 is in the Mexican pesos, and 0.6 is in the area of India rupee. We have a little compensation coming from RMB and GBP, where we have the devaluation, but we are short in this currency. The M&A effect is equal to 11.9 million of euro. It is referred to the EBITDA of PEC, referring to 7th of June, from 7th of June to 30th of September. The 9 month EBITDA, the 9 month EBITDA as we report in the first page is 30.9 million, that is compared to the reported EBITDA that we have in our number, as I said, 11.9 million, that is equal to 14.2 million. So 14.2 million is in our numbers, but the 9 month EBITDA is equal to 30.9 million. And the decrease, so having said that, the organic decrease is equal to negative 3.9 million, negative 5.8%. This is a combined effect because we confirm the very good trend that we have in the gross margin. cleaning all the numbers from the PECON numbers and other effects, we have an improvement of gross margin of cost of sales that is better of the previous year of 1.5%. This is due mainly to all the efficiency that we have in the group, coming from what we already said in the previous quarter, the reorganization in Brazil, the closing of Wareham site plant in UK, the cutting of all the sales with a low margin. And so this positive effect is totally offset from fixed costs that affect my our EBITDA growth that are due mainly to the increase of transportation costs in USA, to higher OPEX operative expenses in the IT due to the SAP to the SAP implementation. Then we have also more fines in the USA, that is 1 million more than the previous year. And then we have a negative FX effect of 1.7 million, mainly refer to the Argentina area, so South America, Turkey, and UK. So all these effects totally offset, as I said, the GM, the gross margin improvement that we confirm. If we go to page 6, we can analyze the adjusted net income trend. The adjusted net income is equal to 22.6 million, so showing a decrease compared to the previous year period of 4.9 million. This decrease is mainly due to 9 million of more costs that I have under the EBITDA, mainly refer to higher amortization depreciation, including PECON depreciation, and then to higher interest expenses, refer to the new financing for 4.6 million. And so these mainly these two effects cause a decrease of adjusted net income compared to the increase that we had in the EBITDA. Related to the adjusted net financial position, the net debt increase, we have a net debt and net financial position equal to negative 591.3 million. So with an increase of net debt of 351.6 million. Of course, the major part of this increase on net debt is due to the M&A effect. So for 301.9 million. Then we have an operating cash flow negative for 10 million. That is normal for the seasonality of our business. Then we have a cash out for CapEx of 40.9 million, and we have a financial cash out expenses for 19.7 million. This is, as we already pointed in the first half, this amount includes 7 million of one-off bank fee that we paid for the new financing. The dividend pay are equal to 3.9 million, and we have a negative FIFA effect of 2.4 million, mainly referred to the USA area and the Mexican area. So all these effects explain the total increase of 351 million. Just to mention that the net working capital anyway is a little better compared to the previous year. Of course, neutralizing the cash flow from the second effect. And also we have a light improvement in the net working capital ratio on the core business sales of more or less 1%. So the deterioration of the operating cash flow compared to the previous year is mainly due to all the extraordinary costs, because the net working capital show a little improvement compared to the previous year. So this is just an overview of the results, financial, economic. I don't know, Massimo, if you want to spend or to let to some Q&A question in order that we can answer to all your questions.
I think we can go to the Q&A session.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from Daniele Aldibrandi of Intermonte SIM. Please go ahead.
Hello, Massimo and Stefano, and thanks for taking my questions. I have three questions, actually. So my first question is on organic growth. Which are your expectations for the remainder of the year, given the slightly softer organic growth trend in Q3? And correct me if I'm wrong, can you confirm that Q4 last year was up +9% at cost and FX? And also, if you can confirm the low single-digit to mid-single-digit organic growth for next year. This is my first question. My second question regards the working capital. Q3 showed a good development, a good trend, I would say. So could you share with us where do you see working capital as a percentage of sales this year and maybe next? And my last question is if you can confirm actually the target of 100% cash conversion this year, and maybe if you have some comments on the current estimates of net financial position now seen by consensus this year for 10 and next year 365. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Let's start from question number three because it's simple to answer. We confirm our target. Then let's go to question number one, organic growth. I don't have in mind, but maybe Stefano can help me about the numbers of last year. What I can tell you is that last year quarter was a quite soft quarter for several reasons. We should go by area, which maybe I do not recommend. But what I can tell you is that we are experiencing, because in this moment we are mid of November, we are experiencing a good fourth quarter this year, definitely better than last year. Also because we had this soft third quarter due mainly to operational reasons. Let me remember that Pacon is absorbing and merging with Dixon, so this has affected for three, 4 weeks our operation. And our Central European warehouse definitely suffered from, let's say, two, 3 weeks of inefficiency. So this has an impact on third quarter, but we are experiencing a swing of sales towards the fourth quarter. Let me also remember to all of you two points. Last year, starting 1st of October, euro was taking a lot of strength against the other currencies. This year is happening exactly the opposite. So we see the currencies going in our favor this quarter. And don't forget that our seasonality on a worldwide base now has moved towards the fourth quarter thanks to the Fine Art, especially in North America, in which we have now a strong leadership. We are going to see a growing fourth quarter. So going back to your request, in fact, at this moment, thanks to the fourth quarter, we are going to, as we ended up the third quarter with an organic growth, let's say, stable, flat, We expect that in the fourth quarter, we are going to have a low single-digit growth. Just to give you an idea, in October, we took 1% of growth just in one single month. The expectation for the end of the year has not been changed internally, because if you analyze our performance, if you analyze specifically to the organic EBITDA, in which we are -5% versus last year, almost 100% of this delay is made by extraordinary elements. It's half by the impact of the foreign exchange rate, and the other is related to the fines. If you have a specific question related to the fines in North America, because when we talk about fines, it's purely North America, we have the CEO attending the call if you want specific, if you have specific questions. But in reality, fines represent, let's say, an inefficiency that we had until, let's say, starting last year, July 2017, that Paycom management has, I can say, almost solved during the third quarter, and we expect the problem of fines going towards to zero level next year, as Paycom is, working on a normal base. So the foreign exchange effect is already going into a normal situation already during the month of November if you compare the exchange rate in August and September. Concerning the second question, I think your second question was related to next year. Again, as we have the CEO in this call, and the United States will represent next year almost 50% of our turnover. Maybe I invite Jim when I finish to add some points. But generally speaking, what we confirm is a strong growth in EBITDA, and let me repeat what I always said. The top line, even this year, when we say is flat, is not a generous analysis, because we almost canceled around 10 million euro sales for strategic decisions. So I would be more focused on EBITDA trend also for next year, because in agreement with Jim Schmidt, we already agreed that in North America next year we are going to cut some inefficiencies in our top line, but this will go in favor of the working capital and in favor of the EBITDA. So to say that the top line will grow low single digit, I think it's accurate. To expect a substantial growth in the EBITDA is also accurate. Of course, 50% of next year growth will be made in North America, and in North America we have worked hard in this period for the SAP transition from the 1st of January. Of course, a lot of our results will be related to the successful transition, but we are very positive also because Paycom was already on SAP, so this management knows what they are doing. So I asked Jim to give us some comments on the growth trend for this year, for the last quarter of 2018, and his expectation of the top line for 2019, and the same for EBITDA, and maybe if he can give us some flavor of the penalties that we have that we consider, of course, not only temporary but almost solved his flavor of what we have to wait from North America in the months coming from operational point of view.
Thank you, Massimo. Starting off with the current strength of our business, it's our belief that the fourth quarter will be consistent with what we've seen with last year, with some improvement. As people know, Paycon acquired a couple of companies over last year prior to Filo acquiring Paycon, which have been accretive. If you look at our 2018 business by segment a little bit, as I think about fine art here with the traditional Paycon legacy business, which would be the Strathmore business and Princeton business, we're very stable to being up low single digits, and that's coming on top of a very strong fourth quarter of 2017. In fact, 2017 of December, I believe, was a record high for Strathmore business. So this just remaining flat is a good thing. When you look at the education side, we're seeing some growth, very low single digits. I expect that to continue. We are being pulled backwards a bit on a year-to-date basis by the office channel. As many people know, in the United States, there's been an awful lot of M&A influence in that market, both this year, last year, and I believe even the previous year, between a number of the largest office people there. Now, we believe that that's going to begin to stabilize. We also, as we look at ourselves on a year-to-year basis, and this was known prior to the Fila acquisition, that we had a very large value customer, a dollar channel customer, that elected to take their business elsewhere. If you look at the base business on the education side and you adjust it for the office pullback and this one particular customer that I'm talking about, you would see a year-to-date growth of somewhere around 6 to 7% year-on-year. If you look at the acquisitions, that's about what I would expect. When you look at the Ticonderoga business, I think it's well documented that there was a number of issues as it relates to service back in 16-17 that continues to hurt us. And when I say continues to hurt us, Massimo is exactly right. We feel very good that a lot of our service issues are behind us. But as you would anticipate, we need to prove ourselves at this juncture. And in North America, for Ticonderoga, we've had some negative influence associated with that, but I believe next year you're going to see that type change. As it relates to the Canton business, we do see some downward trends in the fourth quarter. We expect that to begin to turn the corner and flatten out as we move forward into to 19. That was directly associated with indigestion, I would call it, with combining the businesses prior to Paycon, and I believe with our current leadership team, which we've reorganized into three business units, we have a tremendous amount of focus on what I now call our fine art business, which would be Strathmore, Canson, and all the other various brands that we have within the fine art area. The second area of focus is education, and we have a very strong new employee here by the name of Steve Boyer taking that on. And then our third business unit is retail. I believe with this three-pronged approach, we're going to dramatically improve our communication and our decision making as we move forward in this business. Speaking of 19, I agree with Massimo that that really, if you take a 2 or 3 year snapshot here, 2018 has been all about pulling these companies together and strategy development. We focused a lot on implementation as it relates to SAP. Yes, Paycon's got experience with SAP. We went live in 2014 in a very good fashion. I expect that to happen again in the coming months. We also reorganized our leadership. We're focused on integration. We're focused on fixing problems, and we've had a few. And we're also spending time on trials and the introductions to really take advantage of what we believe are going to be the synergies as we move forward. 19 in the first 6 to 9 months is really going to be focused on implementing the systems. What you're going to see is January 1st-ish. Paycon North America, other than our Princeton Brush location, will go live on S/4HANA, and I expect that to go very well. In the early part of March, our plan is to have Dixon Ticonderoga, which would be the Lake Mary business, as well as the Macon distribution facility, will go live on the SAP. In between here, we've just began rolling out our integration plans, and it was recently announced that our plan is to consolidate the CanSun South Hadley operation, which is converting and distribution, into one of our Wisconsin facilities, so that we will have one facility for all of our converting of fine art products in North America, and one distribution facility that will house all of our fine art distribution throughout North America. In the first 9 months, as I mentioned, most of that will take place. And our plan is that between early January and mid-February, we will have the converting operation moved here into Wisconsin and up and operational. We're planning for it as we speak in terms of inventory and doing this in a way that our service levels are not impacted. Then by the end of February, the first part of March, our plan would be to have the all paper distribution consolidated here in Wisconsin. And then, as I mentioned, sometime in the third quarter, we'll combine the remainder of the rest of the fine art business, except Princeton at this point. And Princeton, we're expecting to do that sometime after we consolidate the rest of the business. So as you think about all the work that's being done, first more from a planning standpoint and a development standpoint in 2018, and actually implementing those changes, as I view 2019, we're going to begin to see cost reductions. We've implemented a number of cost reduction efforts that we believe we can sustain post consolidation. Once these businesses are consolidated, there's going to be further synergies that we'll take advantage of those. But as I look at 2019 from a top-line standpoint, I see that as flat to up single digits. And that will continue into 2020 on an upward trend as we implement our strategies that we're currently developing for all facets of the business, including color, brush, and paper. So as I look at 2020, that'll be the year of really taking advantage of the combined business cost structure, and there's many opportunities for us to improve this business from that standpoint, and also begin to grow the top line. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions. The first one is about if you could quantify the impact of fines that you had in the third quarter in euro. And secondly, about your guidance for 2018. The first aspect, I would like to double check the starting base. I presume that the starting base is 80.6 million for Pacon standalone, for Fila standalone, plus 34 million euros of Pacon standalone. So the first question is about to quantify the starting point, and secondly about the guidance. Basically, if you reiterate the fact that to improve the combined entity, this means that in the fourth quarter, you basically on a standalone basis to generate 18-19 million of EBITDA versus last year 12-13 million of EBITDA. So a big jump. I would like to better understand. You already stated some points, but I would like to better understand the driver of this bold increase in EBITDA in the fourth quarter. Thank you.
Thanks, Ale. Sorry, Ale, we lost the first question because...
first question was about fines that you booked in the third quarter.
Okay, the amount of fines this year is... is 2.4 million dollars. Fines is a complicated argument because more than half, so we are talking of 1.2 million dollars, unfortunately are related to 2017 poor performance. And again, unfortunately, we couldn't book in our numbers because it's almost impossible to knock the door of a customer and ask him how much fines you are going to invoice me next year. So we made just a rough estimation. Unfortunately, if you recall last year in June, in June 2017, I said that we were running a risk to be fined due to the big service problem we had. In other words, in 2018, despite a very poor IT system, because Dixon is not only made by, let's say, incapable manager. Unfortunately, Dixon management was not supported by a good IT system. So in reality, the fines that we have accrued of 2.4 million, more than half is related to 2017. So this is the first comment. The second comment is that the 1.2 million of this year is an amount that is substantially lower than last year, because if you add the 1.8 million of last year plus 1.2, last year we reached almost 3 million. Unfortunately, from an accounting point of view, this has not worked in this way. So the service this year has improved a lot, not enough to make, customers happy, but at least we were not, considered anymore unreliable. But Pacon team has jumped on this issue, and what I can tell you is that what we have accrued in September is really, we hope the queue of this difficult 12 months starting May 2017, ending September 2018. If you remember, I was forced to terminate the CEO because he left us in a very difficult situation with an IT system that has not supported us. So, good or bad, this is the reality. What we see now is that the company is giving an appropriate service. We expect an improvement, a further improvement from January with the SAP transition. But clearly,
if you analyze the operative result of the group, these 2.4 million fines, if you compare, maybe Jim can correct me, but Paycon is working on a $100,000 base per year. You understand that even if we have to calculate this in EBITDA, unfortunately, we have managed the problem in the best way we have been able. Now with Paycon team, we have the information, and we feel the problems are behind us.
Massimo.
Yes.
Massimo, if I could respond or add in. Yeah, you're right with the $100,000. That's really basically each business unit. The reality of doing business in the United States, can't speak to the rest of the world, there's gonna be some level of fines. What we consider where Paycon's baseline is, that's very, very good. I agree with Massimo completely, that we have the lion's share of our fine issues fixed behind us. The unfortunate thing that has plagued us in the third quarter and potentially a tad bit in the fourth quarter is fines take a while to catch up with us. Customers are not always going to very quickly fine you in the month that you have an issue. Therefore, as Massimo mentioned, we don't knock on people's doors to find out if we have a fine coming. We just try to focus on fixing our problems. I can speak to a very good success story. Shortly after the acquisition, our largest customer made a phone call to me, explained their current service-related issues with Dixon Ticonderoga, and told us that we were on the bottom of the underperformance levels from other customers and within. I'm sorry, for other suppliers. Within a very short period of time, I'd tell you it was three, four weeks, we were able to fix some critical issues that needed to be fixed. Our OTIF, which was averaging in the previous, I'd say six or eight weeks prior to that phone call that I got, of approximately 20%-25% OTIF is on time and in full. We are now averaging over the last roughly eight weeks, nine weeks, I would tell you it's right around 90%, which is a very good number. There's been a number of quick fixes, and what we're doing is using best practices between the two businesses, that being Paycon or Dixon Ticonderoga, implementing those. On top of that, the Dixon Ticonderoga team had made tremendous progress since 2017 on fixing some of those issues. I do feel very good that a lot of the fine base, if I can call it, is behind us, that we have the procedures in place, we have the right focus, the right attention to details that I believe are gonna move forward with a very good performance.
Thanks, Jim. Alex, to go to your second question, of course, when you refer to the end of 2018, until now, we have to talk about aggregated numbers. In other words, numbers for Paycon from 1st January to 31st December, not considering that we consolidate Paycon from the 7th of June. If we consider Paycon on a standalone base, we expect, we confirm we expect 33+ million euro EBITDA. Of course, this will be influenced by the exchange rate. For what FILA is concerned, if you analyze the EBITDA, in this moment is mainly affected by fines and foreign exchange rate, which has already turned in our favor substantially during the month of October.
we are experiencing a much better fourth quarter also because we had a swing of sales, because unfortunately, especially in Europe, we have not given the appropriate service. But fortunately, the season of fine art is good until the end of November. So we have recuperated this delay of September, and we really hope that we are going to end up with what you said, so with the minimum result flat to last year, with a slight improvement. The combination is a target that will go from a minimum of 112 to 115 million euro EBITDA. So this is our opinion, of course aggregated.
Thank you. In particular, I would like to have a better recap from you, Massimo, about the synergies that you expect, excluding North America. So, talking about the rest of the business, what do you expect for 2019, starting from 2018? So, just to understand what are you thinking about cost synergies for 2019, even if top line is going nowhere. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Alessandro. First of all, concerning North America, if you agree, I would pass your question to Jim. Or concerning Europe, maybe I was a little bit misunderstood. In Europe, we see a slight growth of the top line because one precondition to start growing the top line is the central warehouse. And the cleaning activity has been made between 2017 and 2018. So, as I recall, that the expectation of all you, let's say, analysts or investors is in the area between 120 and 125 million euro EBITDA, half of that will become from cost savings in North America that I'm sure Jim can confirm, but we can give him the question. The other half, I confirm and I am convinced that will come from Europe. And let me summarize. We have almost 1 year in the central warehouse that will represent just the central warehouse 2.5 million euro savings. Of course, this year these savings have represented almost nothing. We believe on a positive top line thanks to the cross sales. Small example. We have already in this fourth quarter, we see a very nice trend of cross sales already starting, and we will have a full 12 months next year. So if we will isolate Europe from the rest of the world, I expect a good trend. Let me give you a small example. UK is a very difficult market. They are experiencing a very weak pound. UK standalone at the end of September is plus 10% in top line. This is mainly due to the cross sales. I don't expect such a result in Europe, but I definitely expect an improvement in cross sales in Europe isolated from the rest of the world. So I'm positive for Europe because the precondition was the implementation of the central warehouse. And half of the growth of next year EBITDA will come from Europe.
Thank you. And about North America, if you could quantify only your expectation for cost synergies in terms of cost for 2019. Thank you.
I would like to ask Jim to correct me, but what we expect from North America is mainly purely thanks to service to recuperate the turnover that Dixon has lost. And Jim sent me a report that is very positive with customers, because the expectation for next year is that we are going to offset the losses of this year. So this is simply giving them the right service. And then, if you remember, we announced in the first year roughly $4 million cost savings that we confirmed. Jim, can you better specify these two points, please, for me in North America?
Yes, we do see at least a small handful of very large customers giving us the opportunity to grow our business back on the Dixon Ticonderoga side. As we speak, we're presenting sets and options to those customers, and I feel reasonably comfortable that we should be able to gain that back. As it relates to cost reductions and synergies, you know, be advised that until we begin to execute the integration full plans that I just spoke about a few minutes ago, we need to get into a run rate. But I'm very confident by the end of the year, at a minimum, we'll be on a run rate of at least a $4 million savings. You know, that's going to come through, obviously, combining our manufacturing and distribution of our fine arts. It's going to allow us to have common shipments to common customers. We're also looking to change sourcing on certain papers that we believe could save us somewhere in the range of $1 to $1.5 million per year. There's obviously redundant efforts that's happening, and my plan would be here as a group that we will have those redundancies removed from the business by the end of the year. So there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that $4 million on a run rate beginning in the latter part of the year will be achieved.
Okay, thanks. Just to recap, so basically, are you expecting for 2019 only from the cost, roughly speaking, 5 to 6 million of combining Europe and North America, 5 to 6 million of cost synergies?
If you talk about Euro, yes.
Europe plus North America.
So Euro currency. If you talk about Euro, yes.
Okay.
Dollars.
Thank you.
The next question is from Hamish Edsel of Optus Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Just a couple of questions from me. First of all, it looks like your cost of goods sold increases as a percentage of sales. I just wondered if, are you trying to pass on the raw material inflation to your customers straight away, or is this something you've got to look at for 2019, or are you trying to get that back in volume? And the second one, Massimo, is more of a sort of general strategy question for you and the team. I mean, since the acquisition of Dehler and Canton, obviously every quarter it just seems that there's a lot of sort of unforeseen circumstances which mean that earnings are perhaps not what some people have expected. And just kind of wondering about the management capacity you have. It sounds like you've, from what Jim was saying, you've already had to make some changes in the U.S. You've been a bit surprised on, you know, a few things. Just, you know, the overall picture of continuing to make inorganic growth, do you think you need to take a pause for a while and just maybe get a few systems sorted and build up your management capability before you sort of take another leap? Just your general observation on progress versus your sort of longer-term strategy. I'd appreciate your thoughts. Thanks.
I'm Stefano, and I will just start to answer to your first question. Just analyzing the cost of sales,
as is shown in page 8, it seems that it's shown increase, but the effect is that we have decreased or more than 1.5 because the incidence of the cost of raw material net of variances inventory is affected by a not total right comparison because revenue are lower than the previous year because the previous year were not affected by IFRS 15 effect. And so also this value include 19 include the second cost of sale that is infra year and it makes dirty our percentage. If you do this depuration of these two effects, we have an incidence of 39.7 compared to 31.1 of the previous year. And I catch your question, you are totally right. We have a strong raw material cost increase, especially in the pulp, but not only. But we had also great efficiency coming from other items as the water lacquering process in China, as integration in Brazil, as the Waram site UK closing. So the total efficiency that we have in the cost of sales at the moment of totally offset the raw material cost increase that is there. It's more or less 1.8 million. Totally, but the efficiency that we have, we say, take a positive advantage.
So, in order to conclude the comment of Stefano, I would say that in terms of gross margin, let me say that we have done a pretty good job because this year we have an historical trend that we that. I think we have never experienced it in terms of growth of raw material. I'm referring to paper, especially. And despite this, our gross margin, I'm talking of organic, is improving. So imagine if we did not have to experience this growth of raw material. So I think that despite the growth of raw material, our gross margin is improving, and let me remember you that we have already passed a price increase to the market effective January 2019. We decided from a strategic point of view not to pass the price increase in 2018 because we, especially in North America, we caused too many issues with service to customers. But I would take this as a very positive position of the group. So despite the raw material trend, we are having a gross margin growing before we are going to apply the price increase next year.
Great. Okay.
Concerning your comment on the management, I think that we clearly accepted all the challenges coming from the acquisition that we have put in place. If we decided to have a more conservative approach, we could have postponed the SAP launch or the central warehouse in Europe. What I think is that when you talk about management, you have to consider that our non-binding offer on Paycon was public the day after we asked the bank to get the financing. So we talk about early February. So imagine how we could implement stronger management in Dixon, knowing that 4, 5, 6 months later there was a merger. Either this could disincentivate the management of Paycon, or I would have never convinced any, let's say, strong management to reach Dixon and help Dixon to improve the situation, knowing that in 3, 4 months they could lose their job. So at the end, what we have decided, as we knew Paycon management as a competitor, we knew them as very strong managers, by the way, with a very not only consolidated history in Pekon, because Jim is there for 20 years almost. Also the other management was considered very strong. So I remember at the end of January, when I needed to convince the owner of Pekon to come towards us, I remember I used the argument that we needed to reinforce the management, so we wanted this merge to happen under the control and under the management of Pekon. So clearly we took a decision to put Dixon a little bit aside, but if I were you, I would consider the performance of Dixon from the 1st October on, because we clearly see strong improvement. Clearly the company has been a little bit put aside for 4 or 5 months, but it was not in case. It was a decision in order to give the maximum power and control to Pekon management the day after we made the deal.
Okay. And as a general observation, given that you're operating in all five continents, you have many different business lines, but you're still a relatively small company. Do you feel equipped at the moment in terms of the personnel you have beneath you, and also in terms of their skill set, to sort of grow the business from here, or do you need to add people?
But we had already added a substantial amount of people, because we just went through a successful SAP conversion, and we hired the management responsible. And by the way, Jim can spend some words, because he met him, and they are working together for North America conversion. We have implemented a central European warehouse, which I hope maybe one day we could have the chance to visit, because we think that now that it's working, we believe that we have almost 5 years, we are 5 years in advance compared to our competition. So all these projects are not only expensive, but take a lot of time. They have been finalized. In Canson, we have a new structure of management to manage this operation. So, frankly speaking, considering that North America has been substantially reinforced, we don't see the need to further structure the company. By the way, I don't want to appear arrogant, but we feel extremely positive, not only on 2019, but we feel positive already on the last quarter of 2018. So let's see the results, and then we will draw conclusions.
Okay, thank you very much.
There is no question at the moment. The next question is from Giorgio Martorelli of Amber Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. I have a few questions, actually. Starting from clarification, you told us that you are expecting Pekon to contribute for €33 million. I would be curious to know what's the exchange ratio you are using for such a projection. The second question is on the visibility for the fourth quarter. You told us that the fourth quarter is going well. We know that your customers are buying stuff, and probably at the end of November we will know exactly what will be the, or very close to the reality, what will be the quarter. So what's your feeling and what's your visibility on the fourth quarter 2018? Firstly, a very rough calculation, but I come back to the question asked by Alessandro on the fourth quarter. If we take the mid range of your guidance for 2018, which is 113.5 million euro, assuming that the 33 million you gave us are right, this would imply a very, very strong fourth quarter EBITDA growth, which would be between 4 and 5 million, probably 6 million euro EBITDA more than last year. And in absolute term, it's not massive, but in percentage term, it's between 20 and 40%. So I don't know if there's something wrong in my assumption or if this is what you are telling us. And finally, a couple of questions for Jim in the U.S. Firstly, better understanding of the underlying trends, not only in 2018, but going forward for the school and office business and the art and craft. We understand that there were some issues to combine Pacon and Dixon. But how do you see in terms of sellout? Is the market growing? Is growing for better pricing volumes? Which are the drivers which should support long-term growth in the U.S. market? And the very final question is on the cost cutting. You gave us a run rate cost synergies for 2019 of $4 million. Looking at the combined business, it's more than 400 million euro. I would like to know what's your long-term cost saving target thanks to the combination of Dixon and Pacon, let's say in 2020 or 2021. Thanks.
Jim, if you agree, as your question is more is longer, we can start answering, and so you can prepare your answer. Giorgio, we first of all, for whatever reason, last year quarter was fortunately a weak fourth quarter. If you remember, or at least I remember, comparing to 2016, there was a higher expectation on fourth quarter of 2017. So fortunately, we are comparing not only a weak fourth quarter, but a quarter in which the currency last year were going clearly against us. So our best estimation for this year, in fact, we confirm on an organic 4 million euro better than last year for quarter. And we confirm that we used 115, which is not today's exchange rate, but it's 115, the exchange rate of between dollar and euro to see the 33 million euro aggregated EBITDA from Pacon. But please remember that I agree that the fourth quarter is looking quite aggressive, but there is also an important amount of swing of sales that have gone that we have seen during the month of October, and of course we hope and we see that is continuing in November. So it's an ambitious target, but this is what is coming on all around the world.
Sorry, just to be clear, you said 115 is the currency exchange ratio for the 33 million euro of which
yes.
Means a Pacon standalone should deliver $38 million, basically with no growth.
Yes, more or less.
So Pacon is not growing in your assumption?
As we have Jim attending the call, we can analyze also Pacon estimation. Jim, can you answer to all the three questions?
Yes, I can tackle these. First of all, as it relates to the overall trends in arts and crafts, and I would tell you this, that when I think about arts and crafts, and there's a number of analysts and write-ups and so on that would support this, and that is that that is a growing market. Typically, most common numbers that you hear would be in the 2-4% range. A lot of this business is recessionary proof. As people may know, that as we look into 2020, 2021, there's forecasts of a potential recession, and I would guess that this business would remain largely untouched associated with that. In the on the education side, and I'm going to bounce back here, back and forth a little bit, but on the education side, that is a very stable business, and generally speaking, it runs consistent with the population growth or lack thereof, it tied to some degree with the overall economy health. And as you know, the U.S. economy is very healthy at the moment. Unemployment is very low, which means income taxes are up. So funding to local and state and federal, for that matter, authorities is very good. As you think about the arts and crafts, a lot of those products are used, basically as we say here, from a very young age, cradle, all the way through late stages in life. And as the demographics change in the United States to more people retiring, again, there's write-ups and reports that would indicate Americans desire to, in retirement, begin to focus on some of their time towards arts and crafts. So it's a very good, stable business. The key is to provide good products with good brands and great service, but also keep a level of freshness to our product line. On the education side, we have products that we're focused on taking advantage of the STEAM trust, which we believe to be very, very important. And the one area that has the single largest amount of growth, which I haven't really spoke about, which crosses over in arts and crafts as well as education, would be the retail side in e-commerce. And here is where I feel very good in the future that we we have a great team that we have assembled, focused on new product development and line extensions, and having the crystal clear focus in terms of what we need to do with our customers, with the combined brands that Fila Worldwide brings to Pacon and what Pacon brings to Fila. I believe that we're going to have a lot of opportunities to present to the larger retailers and e-commerce, co-promotion, and in some cases bundling, but really taking products to the customers and being able to grow our joint businesses together. So I believe again it's a very, very solid business. It's not a business that's going to be way up, and definitely not down.
The question, there is another question related to the expectation of 2018. Let me highlight a couple of elements that are affecting temporarily the business. We have a very strong increase of raw materials and an unexpected amount of transportation costs related to this Trump reform that neither Pacon nor Dixon nor our competitors has been able to manage. And we are talking here of more than $1 million combined, because unfortunately this has been an overnight reform, and the transporter did not give us much alternative except then increasing prices. I don't know Jim, if you want to add other elements that explain higher costs than expected in 2018.
Yeah, you know, I think it's important, and I am going to come back to the run rate question that I, that I did not answer earlier, but I think it's important for people to know that typically, here again, I'm only speaking for North America, in virtually all of our business, we have pricing that we can go out to the marketplace with once a year. Now, we do have the opportunity in certain markets, such as the education, to a much lesser degree, retail, and to a significant lesser degree in the art side, we can go out with a mid-year increase. But generally speaking, we are able to negotiate with our suppliers on at least the specialty paper side, an annual price that'll be good for a calendar year. Where we're at the whims of the marketplace would be on more of the commodity papers, such as offset, newsprint, and so on. In those categories, we buy at the market. In addition, when it comes to boxes or liner board pricing, as packaging goes up, obviously our costs will go up. But we generally try to have some amount of time before these increases take place. As we look at 19, I can assure you that we have announced price increases that we believe will cover our increased costs. And basically what you see in the different markets and product categories, our costs are going to go up to our customers anywhere from 2 to just under 6%. And I don't have an exact figure on the average, but on the 2%, that'd be more the writing instruments, paper, it would be up on the 5 to 6% range. So I feel good that we're passing these cost increases on. And in many cases, we've already have agreements in place with our largest customers for those. In terms of the run rate, I'm going to tell you right now that what we built a business plan on is to achieve the $4 million number. I'm not prepared to give you a higher number, but I can assure you our practice here is to always achieve what we commit to. And I have made this comment to Massimo more than once that there are synergies galore, and we have plenty of opportunities to look at cutting costs through better sourcing, which I believe sourcing, although we had an idea that we would save some cash and have cost reductions associated with making changes on our base paper sourcing from outside external suppliers to internal suppliers, there's a lot more that we have found on the sourcing side. In fact, my thinking at this point in time is the $1.5 million that we estimated there for that particular savings is very much on the low side, that there's tremendous opportunities with some of the trading partners that Fila Italy has enjoyed for years, not to mention sister companies, whether that be DOMS or the Mexican affiliates. There's
DOMS is India, Jim. DOMS is India. Indian
yeah.
Company, because they are not maybe aware of the brand.
Okay. But then there's also the the Mexican opportunity that we're exploring. So there's really good opportunities to do that. So I believe that the $4 million is a done deal by the end of the year on a run rate, and it will be better than that. That I can assure you. In terms of I want to respond a little bit on the management team. Which I thought was a very good question. Our strategy through the years has always been to hire up ahead of growth. So then as the growth came, we're prepared for it. to some degree, we played catch up here since the Fila announcement. But the only real new employee that we added was the one individual that I spoke about, which was Steve, Steve Boyer. But the rest of the team has been in place for many years. As it relates to Steve, Steve has a lot of years of experience, I believe over 20 years with the retail side, well over 10 years with the distributor side of the school business. And quite frankly, he could come here and teach us a number of different ways to look at the business because of his experience that crosses over not just paper, but from paper to pencils and so on. This team here is very good, but I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that right now we're focused on delivering the implementation and the synergies. And once that gets behind us, we will be poised for a whole lot more and growing this business the way I think everybody expects and the way that it should be built.
Giorgio, do you have all the answers you asked, or there is something missing?
No, okay, thanks.
The next question is a follow-up from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Just a very quick follow-up on the potential on the capital increase. Just if you can give us an update in terms of timing, when do you expect to effectively launch this capital increase? Thank you.
Thanks, Alessandro. We have, for bureaucratic reason, a deadline that is the 22nd of November. As you know, the authority is a public authority. It's an authority that still has to give us the green light. We have done our homework. So in this moment we are waiting their green light, and in this moment we hope this will happen by the 22nd of November. If not, we will be forced to postpone to next year, but still we are positive that they should answer us before next week.
Many thanks.
There is no question at the moment.
Okay, so I think that if there are no questions, we thank everybody for attending this meeting. And I think that
we will meet soon.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.